Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you doing?
I think I'm with the whole country. We're doing as well as we can and still really processing what almost happened to the former president. Now, you and I will still be talking tomorrow about Escambia County matters and, you know, criminal matters, but I wanted to have you on today because you were the commanding officer for the SWAT team. You were the head of the SWAT team at PPD. You have done a lot of presidential events and other high security events, and of course as the sheriff of Escambia County, to me you are a subject matter expert on these things, and I wanted to learn from you what you thought about this. And before we get into sort of all the analysis, when you first saw the video and heard the shots, you know, six or maybe seven shots, what did you think? What was your initial response to that?
Well, I mean, my response is probably like many responses. How could this happen? You're in a level of shock at what you're seeing because, from our perspective at least, it is a monster failure on a couple of fronts. The fact that anyone could even make that attempt, someone could have the opportunity to take a shot, or someone, in a crowd could have make an effort on the life of a protectee, in this case, the former president. I think it's unbelievable. You shake your head because these things should not happen. I heard your intro, someone saying, well, it's too early to tell if there's a failure. No, they should even make an attempt. That's their plan, is that not that someone survives, although that's ultimately the purpose. But I think that the fact that someone was able to make a shot shows that there was a monster failure.
Yeah, I had that same reaction. I thought, you know what I would have loved to hear from the Secret Service or the FBI? I mean, Secret Service would have been the most appropriate, would be to say, this was absolutely a catastrophic failure, and we're going to try to figure out what happened, but you can't call it anything else because you have one goal. One goal is that nobody gets to make an attempt on the life of the protectee, right?
That's exactly right. I know that, you know, going way back to George H.W. Bush, he was at the Civic Center, and he stayed at the Hilton right across the street, and just from him getting from the hotel to the car, which was probably 40 feet away, they had so much advanced team evaluation, and they had so many meetings just for that small period because they were afraid that there might be people, you know, near in and around the Civic Center. So to know firsthand what they do and what they look for, and then seeing that someone still had an opportunity to take that shot, and there was, to me, there were so many failures here. When you do that evaluation, you take a look at what the vulnerabilities are, and then on the day of, early that morning, you will secure those locations. So no one should have ever been able to get near that building, certainly not the top of that building, whether it's Secret Service agents or whether it's the locals that are there to provide support. Those buildings are secured, so no one can get up on top of there. When I think it was President Obama came from, maybe it was President Bush, flew into NAS, and then they had a large caravan all the way to the Civic Center. We blocked down roadways hours in advance so that people couldn't, you know, come up there with a bomb or couldn't set up a van of some sort. We were towing cars and locking down roadways hours in advance. And once it's locked down, it's locked down.
You know, and that was my thought, too, is that level of prevention, like you say, hours in advance, securing, towing, blocking. You know, I was thinking the same thing about the building. I don't know how on earth he was inside the building to begin with, because that's all secured, taped, protected. You just can't, nobody goes in these buildings. And in this scene, if you look at the aerials, you have, you know, four or five different buildings that would seem to be within the real danger range kind of concern. How any of them could have had a person, let alone inside, but up on the roof with a gun. It's amazing.
Yeah, and additionally, again, I mentioned the first President Bush. I was actually stationed on top of the Hilton, and that's what they would do. They would station people on top of buildings to secure it. I mean, when you secure it, I'm not talking about just securing it from the ground level. I'm talking about being up there so no one else can get up there. You know, there's no bad guys can get up there if you're up there. And as I understand, that there may have been a local that had, that approached them or confronted them. And then for some reason, there was no communication. The Secret Service should have known that they were going in there to investigate a potential person on a roof. They should have known who was on what roof, What one of the local law enforcement officers would have been with their channels, communication channels, would have been in a room with Secret Service relaying all the information. So Secret Service would have known there was a an indication of someone on the roof. They would have known that the locals were going to check it out. All that information would have been known. And I just don't understand how this could happen, knowing the protocols that should have been set forth and knowing the coordination that typically takes place.
I'm so glad you said that, because that was my same question. Is I would assume, like, if people are yelling, there's a guy on the roof with a gun, and a cop is climbing up whatever access point to get up there and look over the edge, and then according to the reports, he saw him and then got the gun pointed at him and he retreated back down. I'm thinking, my God, the Secret Service should have known that he was going up there. They should have been on constant radio contact. He should have been prepared for what he might encounter at the top. And I don't know whether it's, you know, you see something, I would assume there's a code word. You can yell the code word. You can make a massive noise. Like, nothing, like, all of this crazy inaction is taking place in a situation that you, this is what you train for, literally. And I could imagine it if it was maybe just some small town police department doing the security, but this is the one thing the Secret Service does. And I'm so glad that you're kind of confirming all of my same questions about how this didn't happen. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, broadcasting to you live from Milwaukee for the Republican National Convention. But on the phone with us, we have Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, former SWAT team commander for PPD. And as you have heard him mention a couple of times, involved in the planning and the action of protecting the president several different times when presidents have come to Pensacola. Chip, what I am hearing from you, and feel free to always correct me anytime you hear me say something wrong, is you find it at every step of the way inconceivable that this event took place the way it did. Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair to say. From the advance team, what I'm talking about is Secret Service brings a team in a couple days early, and then typically our snipers and our SWAT team members will go drive them around the scene, the site. And then they will make their own evaluation, and then they will post people at different locations. Again, a lot of times that is locals because they don't have enough. They haven't had enough in the past. I think that from the very beginning, the advanced team's evaluation, from the communications that occurred during the event. And let me just say this. There are oftentimes this communication. I'll just share with you this. There's a lot of times information is gathered. You know, they talk a lot about, do you see that van that's close to the area? Have someone checked that out? So there's a lot of times that anything suspicious, it's gone over the communications, and people understand in the command room or command post that someone's going to check that out, and that's so they should be on heightened alert. They should wait and listen to see what becomes of that, and so I think that is the communication problem. And then you got the issue with a little bit of a clumsy. I think that they had a very courageous, the people that first got there, his personal protectors, if you will, they got there pretty quickly. And it was a little bit clumsy and awkward getting to the car.
Yeah.
But again, nothing really goes as planned. But I think there could have been some improvement in that as well.
Is there any other part of this? And you've done a great job of helping us understand from your experience, you know, where things went wrong. Is there any other part of this that surprised you? Like you said, I'm surprised they didn't have physical presence up on that roof. I mean, 150, 160 yards is well within what I would consider as a civilian amateur, the high danger zone for a sniper to be located. You know, it's good to have a sniper on the roof behind the president, but, you know, I just couldn't fathom that roof isn't secure.
Well, you know, and also what people aren't, I didn't see all the pictures that everyone has probably seen, but there were snipers, at least two sets. And oftentimes they'll have a spotter, someone that's only looking through a high-powered binoculars, obviously, looking for other threats. So they're not just looking for other buildings, the other snipers, I should say. They're also looking for threats within the crowd. So, I didn't see that. I'm sure they had it somewhere. You're asking about what I think are the failures. I think that it's pretty obvious. It played out on national television what took place and who had an opportunity to take out the life of the former president.
I'm assuming I got a good question here from a listener. I'm assuming that the protectee. Well, you tell me, is the protectee at all involved in any of these drills, or are they just show up and do your business and we'll protect you? Do they get trained on how to react, how to respond, what to do?
if they take part in it, that would be outside of the local law enforcement. That the protectee hardly ever, if I'm not aware of any time where the protectee would say, "Hey, I don't want this, I don't want that." Now on scene, I was with President Obama at Pensacola NAS when he came in the last time, and he will, obviously the president or the protectee would decide how they want to, you know, how they want to move, when they want to move, who they want to talk to, and then the Secret Service would have to work around them. Yeah. So I wouldn't be aware if the protectee said, "Hey, I only want this or I only want that." I can't imagine them directing the snipers or the advance team. I would think the only thing that they would have any influence on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant more. Not do they tell them what to do, but are they trained on what to do or how to respond? You know what I mean? Are they a part of the practice at all? That then.
Yeah, I wouldn't be, having not worked for the Secret Service, wouldn't know what their protocols are. But okay. I can't imagine them not going over what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think President Trump, if you noticed, he immediately went down. You know, not from the shot to the ear, but he went down.
He crouched. Yeah.
That's obviously make yourself less of a target. And so I'm certain part of that is instinct, and part of that is likely just the training or the expectations from the Secret Service over the course of the years that he's been a protectee.
Okay, so I hate to ask this question. I genuinely hate to ask this question, but it seems like the only natural next question to ask. You've explained how nothing makes sense. It all seems to run contrary to the practice and protocol of the Secret Service as you've understood it from your own experience in dealing with these protective situations. So if that's the case, obviously lots of people are speculating, well, how did this happen? It doesn't seem plausible to say that the highly professional Secret Service could possibly make so many mistakes by accident that all of this could just happen. Do you start to wonder if there was something more than just one guy trying to do this and then they responded and there was this series of cataclysmic failures? Do you wonder about there being something more than just what we believe?
I think while I'm prepared to say that, again, this is a monster or catastrophic failure on a number of fronts, I'm not so sure. Again, there are some things that I may not know. Mm-hmm. I'm not prepared to say that it is a conspiracy. I wouldn't say, oh, absolutely, there couldn't be, because there are so many obvious things that could have taken place and should have taken place to prevent even the single shot. I'd have to know what the officer that confronted him, what their thought was, what that scenario was, because that to me is important, because you had a law enforcement officer that I'm assuming talked to, command post. And then they still confronted, or then they went to confront an individual. So I'm not prepared to say that it's a conspiracy. I can tell you that there are some answers to be, or some questions to be asked, and hopefully some answers to be given. I think that there are some careers in jeopardy, obviously, mm-hmm. and I'm certainly prepared to say that they need never, protect an individual again. Some people that are in charge of that, but I'm not prepared to say. Okay. At this point, whether it's a conspiracy.
Hey, just a very quick thing that I hate, we're running out of time on this, but is that range with an AR-15, assuming he had some kind of a scope on there, is it reasonable to believe that the kid taking his dad's gun, shooting at that range, that getting the results he got is realistic for his level of training or whatever? I mean, I know that's a highly speculative question.
It is. I would think that they're very effective at that range. I will tell you that. Those weapons, whether it's just the iron sights or if there was a scope, certainly if there was a scope, I think that those are very effective weapons. We carry similar weapons, and we train with similar weapons. And we have taken, as you know, we've taken shots at maybe not 130 yards, but certainly 50 yards or so at terrorists ourselves. So I think that those weapons are very effective at that range.
Well, that helps. Thank you so much. Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff, thank you so much for the very candid comments this morning, and certainly for bringing your expertise. And as it reminds us all, the level of professionalism and expertise that the Escambia County Sheriff's Office brings to keeping us and any dignitaries who visit Pensacola safe. Sir, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again tomorrow about more local things. I appreciate it.
You bet. Take care.